We all find ourselves here for one reason or another. Coffee, free coffee, yeah. Free food, thanks Kim. Kim made some great vittles this morning. Hi Lori, welcome to church. If you've taken an interest in Jesus so that you'll have a more predictable, safer kind of life, it's probably not going to happen. And if it is happening, you might want to just stop what you're doing. As C.S. Lewis said in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, referring to Aslan, the lion, who's a picture of Jesus, he says, he's not safe, but he's good. He's not safe, but he's good. I want to read Psalm 84 this morning, and then we're going to pray. Lord, would you bless your word? How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty! My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. Pilgrimage. It's a good season to be thinking about pilgrimage, right? It means journey. Those who are on an adventure, pilgrimage, going somewhere purposeful. As they pass through the valley of Baca, not Becca, it actually, the valley of Baca means the place of weeping. They make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, or from glory to glory, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, O Lord Almighty, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look upon your shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your court than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man or woman who trusts in you. We go from strength to strength, verse 7. My wife and I, we were married maybe a couple of years. Caleb, we just had one kid, I think. Maybe Rachel was a baby, so you kind of get the idea. It was a long time ago. And a friend of ours had, in a time of prayer, you know, have you ever had someone pray something over you that sticks these many years later? Then you know typically that that's a God thing. And he was this, like, 6'4", tall, gangly. Tall, gangly guy who probably weighed 150 pounds. He's the one who his name was Aaron, and he liked coffee. He referred to coffee as Jehovah Java. Anyway, it's a bad joke. But he prayed something over my wife and I. He was, you know, just like an 18 or 20 year old kid. And he said, he just had a picture of us where he said, I see you going up a mountain. There's no path. You're making your way. You're on a journey. Where you're going, it's an adventure with God. He's taking you, leading you, calling you. And we remember that all these many years later. It's been something we've not gone looking for, but it seems like it's our story. It's our life. This life of adventure. J.B. Phillips wrote a book entitled, Your God is Too Small. For most of us, I would suggest that our God is too safe and predictable. Let me say it again. For many of us, our God is too safe and too predictable. You're saying, I want to lead life free from chaos. Well, we're not talking about the chaos, the adventure that comes from living a sinful kind of life. There's a different kind of adventure to be had, my friend. We fall into our routines, our habits, our patterns, our comforts, our conveniences. We like a metronome, just the routines of our life. We get up at a certain time, we go to the coffee, we eat granola, and then we do this. And my wife recently moved the coffee pot from this counter over to that counter, and I'm like, hey, wait a minute. My routine, you know. Now I'm, you know, just little things. We when things like our cheese gets moved, right? That book. We're like, hey, wait a minute. What's going on? Someone's messing with me, right? It's our wife. She's moving the coffee pot. We were made for more than this. Each of us. We were made for a life full of adventure. I'm not talking about reckless, senseless adventure. I'm talking about an authentic relationship. You see, we were made to interact with God and with His creation. And it seems that we find ways to sterilize our lives from both. Did you hear that? We were created to interact with God and with creation. And it seems that we invent ways to sterilize our lives from both. Where we don't need God, truthfully. Where we invent ways of not needing Him in our lives. Right? We go on trip, we have credit cards. We have a safety parachute. We have our plan. And I think we ought to plan. I think there's a certain kind of life where it's prudent to plan, but if we even take a cursory reading of Scripture, you'll find that God has a lot of tricks up His sleeve. He says to Abraham, hey, I want you to leave where you've always lived and go to a land where I'm going to show you. Abraham, your father, you don't have a child, you're fatherless, or you're sonless, right? But I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And you're like, God, you're funny. The one thing we can't do is have kids. And oh, hey, by the time your kid is a teenager, I'm going to have you take him to a rock and put a knife over him, and I'm going to test your faith. It was a picture, of course, of Jesus Christ and what the Father ultimately did. And if you were to go through Scripture, you would see that those who call upon the Lord don't simply know Him as a gentle shepherd. He's also called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? And if we're only ever cuddling with the gentle shepherd, my friend, we're missing the adventure of what God has for us. See, so often we live life based on what we can accomplish, what we can find our sweet spot, and where we know we can succeed. Where we don't want a safety net, right? Where we prop our lives up with all these safety mechanisms, all this padded, kind of life kind of thing, where we don't get bumped or where we never have to step outside of where I'm comfortable. Right? If I know I can succeed, then I'll do it. I'll watch someone else. And if they do it and they don't look too foolish, then maybe I'll consider it. But I don't want to go somewhere where I know, my weakness is going to be maybe exposed. And that's how we live our lives. And we bring that kind of thinking and that kind of mentality to our Christian faith. And so Jesus really serves us to make us have a safer, more cozy kind of life. And I would suggest that as we've studied the nature and character of God, that when we begin to trust His heart, He takes us places where we're not comfortable going in and of ourselves. And what I believe is in the heart of God for us is, one, when we experience His heart, when we understand His character, how He is, when we know that He's a good Father, I can trust Him. I can jump like a child, you know, just jump into Daddy's arms and He's there. He's the one calling me. Now, I'm not the initiator. I'm not just jumping off stage diving and, you know, wonder why I'm going to do a belly flop. Right? But, like Peter, Matthew 14, Lord, if that's You, bid me to come. Get out of the boat. Peter did, and check it out sometime, I'm going to refer to it, Matthew 14. Peter did what he was capable of doing. God did what Peter was incapable of doing. And so many of us live our lives in the confines of comfort, of security, of what we can handle on ourselves. And we never know the adventure. You see, when we look at creation, we see wilderness. That's where sometimes you just got to go west, young man. You know, don't go to Disney. Go somewhere out in the wild. Okay? Leave the populated beaches and just go somewhere out in the wild. Even if that's somewhere, you know, Port Clinton is a different kind of wild. I'm talking about even if it's just taking a hike in the woods. I love Pat and Jan's woods for that reason. Just to be near creation. Because God is not just the God of the little lamb. He's the God of the grizzly bear and the great white shark and rams that batter and clang and clash. He's revealed Himself in creation. He's revealed Himself in Scripture. But somehow we have the capacity and the capability of reducing Him down to safe, predictable, monotonous routine. In what way did you experience God in a fresh way this week, where you had to step outside of yourself? Anybody? No, we don't need to have a show of hands. I know Ron sharing yesterday at the WOW celebration. Lori said you hit a home run. If you look at Jesus, you read the Gospels, you'll see that He's radical. I don't know how the church has the ability to reduce Him down to stained glass. You know, and He's this, I don't know, for a guy, the church has the ability to reduce Jesus down to like a wimp or something. Just where He loses all texture and where we have to feel like, almost even as a guy, where you have to just be soft and predictable and mellow in order to be embraced by God. But He's not like that. He's more than that. He is that, but He's so much more. He's the Lamb of God, yes, but He's also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. If Jesus is ever only our gentle shepherd, where we go to Him for comfort, where we go to Him for forgiveness, where we go to Him to feel accepted, I believe in all that. I want all of that. I need all of that in my life. But if that's all I ever experience, if there's never the roar of God, you understand? If there's never the deep calling unto deep, where He takes me someplace where, hey, Peter, leave your nets, come follow Me, where there's never that sacrifice and that wrestling and that call to something, quite honestly, where I don't want in my nature to go, we have to want, if there's never that roar of God, we might want to wonder about the authenticity of our faith. Because it's a dynamic relationship. He's not just a belief or theology. I believe in right theology. I'm a pastor. I believe in right thoughts about God. But there's this adventure, this call, this relationship, and he's not always safe and predictable, my friend. Amen? Are you experiencing him? And the faith that results from this small-minded view of Christ, it becomes quite boring. And then what happens is we get bored. The church gets bored. And so they turn inward and they go, start gossiping and they start chewing on each other. Whatever that was. No. We get into all kinds of mischief. We get bored with God. We get bored with the, and we somehow think that God is boring. And so then we start, you know, let's go to the casino. Let's get some action going in our life. Hey, there's something going on at the bar. Or, woo, look at that hottie. Right there. Because we've reduced Christ down to a religion and not a relationship. And we think that this is normal Christian life. What we so often have embraced in the West is a normal religious life. It's true. It's the great battle within us all. When the church stops living in the adventure of God, it turns inward, becomes cancerous. You see, the life of God has always been one of faith, of risk, of going someplace beyond our own ability. Sometimes you just need permission to fail. If you haven't failed recently, go fail. Now, I'm not saying fail your marriage. I'm not saying fail relationship, fail integrity. Fail righteousness. Just go teach a kids class and be like, what just happened to my life? That's true for me. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and discipline, or a sound mind. And so often our Christian faith, if we were truly honest with ourselves, we would operate in the arena of fear and unbelief rather than trust, faith, obedience. That's always the temptation. For many of us, there's very little adventure or risk in our lives. We're a culture of antibacterial soap. I'm happy about it. Safety belts, good thing. Crash test dummies, you betcha. I'm glad we are, but we've inoculated ourselves from the audacity of God. Our God is a wild man. He's good, but he's not safe. And if you've settled for safe, I would say that perhaps, I'll just say you're missing something. You're leaving out the sugar and the caffeine, or whatever it is, the protein and the carbohydrates. I don't know. You get the point. We've turned him in stained glass artwork, where he's safe, beautiful, and predictable. Because we've made our Christianity into a logic-based way of life. We embrace the truth of God's Word, and we should. This Word, His Word, is truth. Amen? We believe in thought and theology. Amen. We need to have right thought. But God's more than logic and belief. He's meant to be experienced. He's a dynamic relationship. This is the way, walk ye in it. This is the way of holiness. This, turn to the right, turn to the left, follow me. It's a dynamic thriving relationship that's organic. It's not sterile like some kind of test tube laboratory. There's a richness. There's a realness. When I was a young college kid, he's, you know, putting an appetite. You know, when you get an appetite in your mouth where you're dissatisfied. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Someone said, Jim, go to the streets and do what? Tell people about Jesus. Okay, how do you, let's go figure this out. And I was young, just bold. Couple of people in an alleyway smoking weed. I think I was telling Hope about that? Smoking weed, and I don't know what they're doing, but they're smoking weed. I had never really seen it before. I go in and, you know, like, but God was there. I'm telling you. I got a story I got to tell you. I wasn't going to do it. Didn't even think about it till now. I was on, and if I told this before, I apologize. Our church had a little coffee house down on the street in Fort Wayne called Pearl Street. Pearl Street had two gay bars. So there were all kinds of people. I'm probably the only pastor in the Vineyard that's been persecuted for being gay, but I wasn't gay. I was talking to people, and I had eggs thrown at me, pelted with eggs. Yeah, but it was awesome. It was a great, people would try to pick me up. I'm like, no, I'm straight. Well, what are you down here for? Because all of my church people would go into the coffee house and they'd huddle together, and I would be in there for like 3 minutes, and I'd go, I'm around this on the Bible college campus. Get me out of here. I got to get with people that don't know the Lord. And so, you know, this would happen. Well, what are you down here for then? Well, great question. And we would have great conversations about Christ. One such conversation, the Lord was all over this guy named Brent. 6'3", sharp-looking guy, tight blonde hair. He had an antique store outside of town in this little town in Indiana. Oh, dude. Seriously? That's all right. Focus, all right. Boop. He came from a Christian background. The ministry of the Holy Spirit was all over this guy. And he was just in that moment ready to come back to surrender his life to Christ and to repent of his sin. And it was like right there, and it was powerful. Like, it was so powerful. Just the experiences of the Lord putting someone on your heart and just going, interacting, and letting, and Christ shows up in the midst of all that. That would have never happened if I had stayed in my comfort zone of my dormitory on Bible college campus. You get that? And so God is there, and He's ready, and all of a sudden a buddy of His comes, and the bubble has just popped. And I felt like such a failure. Like somehow I missed the mark. You know what I'm saying? That, you feel like that. I feel like that. I can feel like that. And so months later, I'm up at a college, Christian college up in Bethel College of Mishawaka, in a friend's dorm, a new guy I had gotten to know, and I say, hey, where'd you get that piece of fabric? He had it underneath his speakers on a stereo. It was just unique. I don't know. It caught my eye. Something to talk about. He said, well, my friend, I got that from an antique store. I said, really? Yeah, you'll never guess the story. What? Where'd you get it? Well, in Pierston. Pierston? I know an antique. So what was this shop? Oh, the Lord led us to this antique shop in Pierston. There's a guy named Brent. I know an antique. All of a sudden you're starting going, like I was seeing the other side of the story of God's faithfulness. Here the Lord led them to His, they were just driving through town, and the Lord, He's riding with them because their ears are open to Him. Father, what do you have for me today? And relationship, dynamic, not sterile, not confined to Sunday morning, but authentic faith in the everyday kinds of things. Just looking for Christ. They stop. They go into a store. Boom, they lead Brent, the 6'3", blonde-haired antique dealer, they led him to the Lord. And I'm like, can we go see him? We went to church with him that night. I don't want sterile. I don't want safe. I don't want predictable. I don't want boring religion. Give me Jesus. We embrace a Savior who left the glories of heaven to be born in a barn, into poverty. Stories of the miraculous, stories of angelic visitations, stories of where he could care less about religion and tiptoeing around political correctness or satisfying religious people. He was always in the marketplace interacting, seeing the Father at work, looking for what the Father was doing, and God showed up in the most mundane kinds of ways. Because he was looking and available. And that's the kind of life that he led his disciples into. Is our faith reasonable? Yes. But if our life ever only makes sense on Wall Street and on Main Street, give me the ancient path. Give me the path to the old rugged cross. Give me the place where it's glory to glory with a whole lot of valley in between. This pilgrimage. A life of convenience is not the Christian life. It's a religious life. If we find that our Christian journey is boring and routine, I would suggest that perhaps we've quit living the Christian life and have instead embraced a religious one. I know that sounds harsh, but I believe it to be God's word, to be the Spirit of God for us this morning. If he steps on my toes, Lord, just stomp on him so we can move on. Right? The Christian life is one of adventure, of journey, of upward, glory to glory, of risk-taking, of failure. We're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling as we listen, learn to obey the voice of God. In Mark 3, just a few verses, it says in verse 13 to 15, Jesus went up on a mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. Have you heard his voice? You're called. You know that? It's just if you respond to him. That's the real question. They came to him. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach, to have authority to drive out demons. In 1 Samuel, King David was a picture of Christ in many ways. And it says in 1 Samuel 22, all those who are in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader, about 400 men with him. And many of these became known as his mighty men. The people who were discontent, people who were broken, people had nothing to lose. The rich young ruler, he had a lot to lose, didn't he? He thought, go sell everything and follow me. I can't do that because my stuff is more valuable than your stuff. But when we begin to see and hear the heart of God and his character and his ways, may we experience what we see here in Mark chapter 3, where the call of discipleship is a call to intimacy and fellowship with him. Jesus calls us first to himself. Then he calls us to a broken world. He calls us to himself. He doesn't call us to ourselves. He calls us to Himself, to salvation, to relationship, to surrender, to, hey, join me where I'm going, leave your nets, follow me. Leave the predictable, leave what you figured out for your life. I have a different kind of life for you. Now, for some it may look a lot the same, but it's just the difference in who's Lord, who's in charge. The call, secondly, is to ordinary common people. Aren't you glad for that? Only one of them, Judas, would have measured up on someone's, you know, bank statement, I suppose, or ledger. The rest were just a bunch of ruffians. He doesn't call us based on our talent, our education. He calls us by His voice. His call releases us, thirdly, to live a life that's beyond what we're capable of living on our own strength. He empowers us to represent Him in a whole new way. And when we say, I can never do that, you're exactly right. If you're saying, well, I could do that, you've missed the boat. Because God calls us to where we can't go on our own. The call is to join Him where He's at, what He's doing, to begin to dream His dreams and think His thought, where it's beyond what's comfortable and convenient and what I'm capable of in my own efforts. Do you see? Are we even driving through town saying, Lord, what do you have for me? My friends were. And I got to be in on that, and they got to harvest some of the stuff that I helped cultivate. And then if the Lord does nudge, are we willing to listen? Are we willing to stop, to turn around and be directed by Him? Do we even care? Do we even want to know? Well, I'm saved. You know, I'm good. My family's good. So, hey, we're good. I don't think we're good, if we're good with that. His call for us is to live the adventure, not to play it safe. Those who refuse to take risks seldom do anything worthwhile in God's kingdom. See, God calls us to Himself. And He's not safe or predictable. And He doesn't always measure up on what Wall Street, Main Street, or whatever street thinks He ought to act like. You know, Jesus has some bad manners. He doesn't care about religion. He could care less about political correctness. He just goes and He makes a radical difference in our lives. D.L. Moody, the great revivalist, the most powerful evangelist in the 19th century. Have you heard of him? Some of you? All of you? Okay. Moody Bible College, Moody Press, all that came from him. He was an uneducated man. He started going to church. His family was so poor that they farmed him out. And his mom, he came back to his mom complaining, and because his dad died, I believe, and she said, you're getting fed? Yeah, but it's cornmeal and oatmeal. You have all you want? Yes, you're going back there. And he was raised pretty rough. And he had awful grammar. He wasn't educated, sold shoes. He started going to a church, and the Sunday school teacher said he was the most unlikely to ever do anything worthwhile in his life of anybody he'd ever met. That was D.L. Moody. But the Sunday school teacher believed in him. Invested in him. Empowered him. I think about Jan and her crazy vision of Pontifex and all that God's doing. Talk about adventure. Talk about crazy, crazy stuff. Every day. Hearing God's heart, feeling the rhythm of His heartbeat, then having that beat start to work within her own. Making her dissatisfied with what she can do in her own self. And you just want to see the kingdom of God go get next to this woman and be a part of it, because it's happening in a powerful way. Our daughter Hannah was in, she's in this mission thing. Just that we have young people willing to take that step. And if you know Hannah, you don't know, I don't, you might not know this. A year ago, she would be nervous to interact with a cashier lady at Walmart. That's just who Hannah is. She's like, you know, kind of hang back, and just to have that kind of interaction with someone like that, just she wasn't ever comfortable with that. Some of us, that's why we go through those automized, whatever, things that we hate. They never scan. It's like, Hannah was, she's in Montana, and they were in a week-long thing in Portland. They were doing ministry where they're learning to hear God's voice, taking time to listen, to pray, to just settle their hearts, get rid of their distracting thoughts, and to say, Father, what do you have for me today? Powerful. That they even care is awesome. They're doing ministry to homeless people, and they're facing abuse and hostility, and it's just crazy, but her heart's still open. She's saying, Lord, what do you have for me? And she's beginning to move in some prophetic things where God's giving her like pictures of things. And so she's saying, Lord, what do you have for me? And she saw a picture of a woman's feet in red boots. She's like, okay, I'm going to be looking for a woman who's wearing red, like, water galosh, I don't know, whatever. Huh? Rain boots, that's the word. They were red rain boots. Say that five times fast. And so they're out on the street doing whatever there's, you know, going, serving the Lord. And she sees up in the distance a woman wearing red rain boots. Hannah's always like, you know, I'm going to play it cool kind of thing. That's not where she's at today. Because she's on this adventure because I'm a part of what God's doing on the earth today. I'm not going to live a Christian life in my own comfort. I want God's heart. And so she started running after the woman, you know, like trying to hurry up, and she's running, and a friend came with her, and she's like, excuse me. I feel like I'm supposed to pray for you. Would that be okay? You see, we're taught to pray, and God gave me a picture of red rain boots, and you're wearing red rain boots. So can I pray for you? And the woman is like, you're weird. And said, no, thank you. And they turned around, and you might get rejected. You might go, swing and a miss. And they turned around, and Hannah is rejoicing. She's like smiling. And her friend is like, what's wrong with you? We just got rejected. We missed it. She's like, no. God gave me something, and I took a risk, and I obeyed Him. The outcome's up to Him. I love that spirit. Oh, God. Light a fire in our hearts. How about a stay-at-home mom that says, you know what? I'm going to invest in the lives of my kids right now, and we're just going to buckle down and find a way to make a difference. Find a way to make it through. Or stay-at-home dad. If you have that ability and you make that sacrifice, there's a risk involved. Some choose to it, some whatever. That's between you. John Wimber used to say faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Rick Warren, quoting out of Ecclesiastes 11:4, said, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. He says, if you involve in solving all the problems before you make a decision, you'll never know the thrill of living by faith. God always uses imperfect people in imperfect situations to accomplish His will. If you're looking for perfect conditions before you step out where you know the water is turned into ice solid and you can get out of that boat and not fall and not sink, you'll never know the risk. You'll never know the thrill. You'll never know the adventure of, of, of being in a place where you're living a life beyond what you're comfortable or capable of doing. I know some of us by nature are more cautious. Some are a little more wild. Some are more artistic. Some are more together. You have creative types, you have engineer types. How's that? That's what I'm trying to say. But there's adventure to be had for us all. And your adventure is going to look different than my adventure. You may not be opening up Pontifex in the neighborhood. Okay? But that's not to say that what God has called you to is no less of an adventure. Because it's His kingdom. And it's listening to His heart. And it's having His heart beat within our own. And those who say, you know what? But God is rational, and God wants us, God's not a God of chaos, but of safety. And I've heard parents have this, you know, this intent with their kids to protect their kids, but you never do. And take, for example, an airplane or an automobile. An automobile seems like it ought to be more safe because it's on the ground, four wheels, you're in control. And the thought of hurtling through the atmosphere at a high altitude, a fast rate of speed, strapped to a piece of metal with rockets going, you know, the flying sounds pretty scary, doesn't it? Sounds reckless, crazy. Who would ever do that? But it is far more safe than ever riding in a car. And then we live a Christian life that's inoculated from ever needing to risk or ever needing to step out in faith. And then our kids, they get bored with it. We do the same thing week after week. There's no real life. It's just a belief in our family. There's no adventure. There's no anything. And so then they start feeling the thrill in living on the wild side. Look at the adventure here, right? And they we lose them anyway. We're afraid of real risk, but then a whole generation is lost because we never took our faith seriously, or we lived within a predictable of what we're measure of what we're capable of operating in. Who's the fool? And you know that the adventure of this world never satisfies. What the X Games were doing 10 years ago or 15 years ago looks like boring stuff today. And they just got to push it, because that thrill wears off and you got to have more thrill. I tell you that there's no greater thrill than walking in a life-giving relationship with the creator of your soul. There's nothing more radical. There's nothing more amazing. There's nothing more significant than experiencing the pilgrimage of walking and journeying with the Lord our God. Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And I'm not asking you to go sell all your possessions and move to Tibet, though if you were to do that, that'd be cool. I'm not saying, to be a fool to be a fool, to be reckless to be reckless. What I am saying and suggesting to you that there's a dynamic relationship, an authentic relationship with the one who's the gentle shepherd and the lion of the tribe of Judah. If we're not experiencing the full measure, then we're living a life that is beneath what God has purposed for us to live. That's what I'm saying. And I think the majority of Christians in the West opt out. We opt out. We turn our faith into cognitive reality rather than authentic experience. And I think, you know, I'm not saying we're not saved, but I'm saying that we opt out of the real life, of the real story, of the real adventure, of this partnership, of this dynamic experience with the living God who made you, who purposed you, and has quite a story to tell through your life. You see, and what I think is that, see, we look within our own self with what I can do. I can never do that. I used to be scared to death of public speaking. I still don't enjoy it. Okay? I don't. You wouldn't know it, would you? I don't enjoy it at all. When I'm in a different environment, I'm very unsettled in my spirit. But God calls us to a place where it's beyond ourselves. And that's the place where He's inviting you to come. Will you trust me? Will you learn to listen to my voice? Are you willing to fail? Will you step out on the water? Will you use what I've given you and say, Father, how can you breathe on that? What do you have for me today? God, what do you get? What do you have? We need some stories. You need some legends. Lori and I used to call them tales of the kingdom. So too many of us are sitting on our tail and we're not experiencing the tales of the kingdom. See, I think we all ought to have tales of the kingdom. I think that's what He's made us for. We're tired of the tales and the stories that come from selfish living, of unbelief and fear. I'm tired of those stories. Those are boring stories of lack of commitment. I'm tired of her. I'm going to find me a new woman or whatever. I'm tired of those garbage stories of finding adventure in reckless, stupid living. Let's have some new stories of those who trust the Lord and who are listening to God and who are saying, okay, Lord, let's do this. We need some of those stories. You need some in your family. You need some of your own. They're to be had only if you're willing to be a fool for Christ. Only if you're willing to leave your nets and follow Him. If you're willing to hear His heart and say, okay, Lord, what is it? You need some of your own stories. Do you have them? You experiencing them? Might not be every day. Could be. Probably be near to His heart that you see those things every day. But how about once a month? Let's start with that. How about a story where you stepped out and God was there and boom. We need some of those stories. Pilgrimage. Not religion. Jesus. Thanks. Settle for religion when you can have the real thing? No way. No way. We were made for more than this. We were made for more than this. When are you going to get bored of just the religious life and bored of the sinful life and just say, Lord, you use imperfect people? Okay, I qualify. You use ordinary people? Okay, I qualify. You use goofy people? Okay, I qualify. Let's do this. Give me your heart, Lord. You're not always going to see the rest of the story. Hannah will never know maybe what happened with the lady in the red rain boots. Doesn't matter. God's telling a story through your life if you let Him. Amen?
Amen.
Say, you know what? The worst thing you could do is say, good sermon, pastor. That'd just be dumb. Save the breath. It probably wasn't that great anyway. You get the, you know what I mean? But let's take something. Let's let a little restless discontent go on in our spirit and say, okay, Lord, if you can use Jim and Lori at all, oh Lord, I know you can use me. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to sing a song of worship. And then you're going to get some prayer. You're going to surrender your heart in a fresh way to the Lord. And you say, okay, Lord, let's do this. Right? Amen. All right.